The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Now, Mike, before we get started, okay, I just have a quick story I want to tell you.
I love your
Mike. Just a little quick story, then we'll get started with the whole thing. Well, you know, I do a lot of interviews myself. You know, I do a lot of interviews with different reporters and stuff like that over my career. And I got to tell you, you know, sometimes, Mike, you meet reporters and sometimes they're generalists, right? Sometimes they don't necessarily are not an expert on a subject. And then sometimes I feel like I've been given the same interview for 30 years. Like there's some topics I'm like, you know, just doing the whole thing, you know, whatever. So one time I'm doing an interview with a reporter and I kind of honestly walked into it like, oh, this is real thing. And then this reporter started asking me these questions that were so good. I immediately was like, I better up my game. This reporter is the real deal.
Not what you expected.
No. They were so sharp and, I mean, scary, like a little bit. Like, man, I better, you know, be focused here because this reporter is so strong. That reporter is Vanessa Eccles. And that is our guest. Vanessa Eccles is our guest. Vanessa, are you there?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. So glad to have you on the show. And, man. Retired recently after, I don't know, you still look like you're 27. I can't understand the math of this, but you did recently retire. Is that correct?
I did. I retired at the end of May.
And so have you had some time now that you've been able to sit back and reflect and think back on your career? And you have any thoughts about that now looking back on all your years in broadcasting?
Well, I think I started doing that once I officially made the announcement that I was retiring. So that was 30 years in Orlando at WSTV and 40 years total in the television news industry. And I just knew it was time. I mean, that's a long time.
That's a long time.
I got to do some amazing things and meet some amazing people. But it's time for, you know, chapter two or act two.
I gotcha. Well, you know, one of the things I really enjoyed watching, and I actually got a bit emotional seeing it on Facebook, was some of the younger Black women reporters who really honored you in your final time there on air. How did that feel? What was it like for you?
Well, that was, you think it was emotional for you. Imagine me. I mean, it was, I was like, I'm not usually like sentimental and sappy and weepy, but that did make me, you know, sentimental, sappy and weepy. Just to listen to them say the things to me that I didn't know they felt over the years, mm-hmm. in terms of watching me and setting a standard that they're trying to live up to. It was one of those give people flowers while they can still smell them.
Right.
It was one of those.
Did you have this moment of thinking like, wow, I didn't realize I touched this human so much. Like, did you have that? Was that sort of weird to kind of get your brain around that these women were getting up every day and thinking, I want to be like Vanessa. And did you not know that? Yeah.
No, I had no idea. I thought they don't know the history of everything, and you know, for them, I'm just, you know, another person they see on television. So to hear them say those things and just tell personal stories about, you know, things that I had done, they're like, okay, I want to do that. I'm like, okay, do that, but do even better than that. But just to listen to them talk about the impact that I made on their lives, it was a very emotional moment, but it also made me feel like, okay, I did what I was supposed to do when I came here.
Hmm. Tell me one more sentence about that. Keep going.
I just think a lot of times you go through life, but also you go through your career and you're focused on, okay, let me do this job that I'm assigned to do. And you don't realize how many people are watching you do it and are looking at you like, oh, okay, that's how it's done. That's what I need to do to get to that level. Because along the way, maybe you don't meet them or see them. You don't hear from them, so you don't know all of that. But then looking back, now I realize, wow, they really were watching and observing and realizing, okay, that's what I need to do to get to that level.
Well, you know, when you started in broadcasting, this is a little bit silly, but it was kind of the end of the Ron Burgundy era. I mean, like, you know, in the 70s and early 80s, there still was a lot of racism and chauvinism and stuff like that. And you entered into that world. There's a scene in Ron Burgundy where, like, they start talking about diversity and they're like, what's diversity? They don't even know. And so you started in that place. What was that like?
My first job was there in Jackson, Tennessee.
Wow.
And in that station, there was like one of everything. There was like one white woman, one black woman. And so I think for those of us who got started in the early 80s, we were looking at stations and thinking like, oh, they're not going to hire me because they already have a black woman. And sometimes they would actually tell you that.
Wow.
And so now when I look at newsrooms and I see, you know, these newsrooms with all these black women on the air or all these women on the air, or, you know, a station where there's Hispanic women and Asian American women, it's like, wow, things have really, really changed.
That is very cool. That is very, very cool. Well, tell me this, as you've reflected on your many years in broadcasting, have you thought back and said, that was, you know, the most impressive, famous person or politician or whoever I met, that was cool. Do you have any, reflections on that? And I'm really, Vanessa, I'm looking for dirt here. Okay. I'm looking for a good juicy story. You're not employed anymore. You can say whatever you want now. So is there anything you want to tell us? Maybe you had a date or two with somebody famous. I don't know, Vanessa, but is there anything you reflect on as like, that was a great interview or something that was meaningful to you?
I think the most meaningful interviews that I've had are just with people who aren't famous. People who would just consider themselves ordinary people, but something came along and forced them to do something extraordinary for their community or their family. But to go back to your question about famous people, I always say the most famous person that I interviewed and who was the best interview was with Vanna White.
Really?
Back in the 80s when Wheel of Fortune, I mean, it's big now, but, you know, there was a period when Wheel of Fortune just was the number one thing. And so she had only been on the air with Wheel of Fortune a couple of years. And the particular week that I interviewed her, she had been on the cover of Time and Newsweek and People magazine. I mean, it was huge, and she was huge. Could not have been nicer as a person. And I was working in Macon, Georgia at the time, so really small market television, so it's not like she's being interviewed by somebody from, you know, New York or Los Angeles or anything. But for most of the interview, she was asking me questions.
Really?
I was very curious about, oh, how did you get this job? Where did you go to school? Where did you grow up? What do you like about the job? And I was like, okay, hold on. I'm interviewing you. But just, you know, sometimes when you interview famous people, they act like you're bothering them.
Right.
Because you're interviewing them. She was not like that at all. It was just, she was just so personable. And so I have these many, many years ago, I have still never forgotten that interview.
Wow. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Can I tell you mine? Can I tell you mine? You want to hear that?
Oh, sure.
It's Vanessa Eccles. That would be mine. That would be my number one. My number two, honestly, would be Michelle Obama.
Wow.
Yeah. And I got a little starstruck when I met her. I couldn't believe how tall she is. She's very tall. I honestly thought she was standing on something. She wasn't. I'm shorter than I remember. But she just was so crazy nice. And like, I said something and she said something back it felt like she was like interested in me. And so I was just sort of, dumbfounded by that. Have you ever in your time, you just met somebody like historic and then you were like, whoa, like that's a piece of history. Ever anything like that happen?
I think for me that happened when I interviewed Rosa Parks.
Oh geez.
And,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So she came to Orlando probably sometime in the 90s, I guess it was. And, you know, she had some people around her, of course, you know, her people like, oh, no, she doesn't. And I was like, you know what? I am not about to let this opportunity get away. So I kind of had to, you know, strong arm some people out of the way.
Good for you.
So I interviewed her and, you know, she was really quiet and acting like, oh, what I did was no big deal, that kind of thing.
Right.
And I was like, this is amazing. And so then after I interviewed her and we were walking to the car, I think it hit me that I just interviewed this woman who changed history and one of the most profound people in history and had an impact on the entire world. And I just had a chance to talk to her.
That's a big deal. We're going to need to take a break in just 1 minute. Vanessa Eccles, but think about, there's some people that their Rosa Parks moment was you. Think about that. Is that crazy?
Yeah.
And it's true. It's true.
It's very crazy.
It's very crazy. But that's it's interesting for you to be able to reflect that that's what you have meant and do mean to people in our community and beyond that. And I hope you're able to kind of like feel that and enjoy that and then also share that. That's really cool. So we're going to take a break here real quick. We'll be right back in a minute with Vanessa Eccles, who's just the bomb. She's awesome.
It's said that it's not how much money you make, it's how much you keep and use to plan for your future. Nathan Meeks, principal at Meeks Capital, combines leading investment techniques with modern financial planning software to be the resource you turn to for clear, objective, and sound financial advice. For a no-obligation consultation, call Nathan at 407-494-5439 or visit meekscapital.com.
The Crossman Conversation thanks Four River Smokehouse for helping to sponsor our program. From its inception, Four River Smokehouse has not only served delicious food in warm family settings, but they've been key leaders in creating positive social and financial impact in our Central Florida communities, such as their Four Rivers Farm, a healthy, thriving, sustainable food system. For a Four River Smokehouse near you, visit 4rsmokehouse.com.
Are you willing to serve communities in crisis around the world? To people who are impoverished, oppressed, and persecuted? Frontier Partners International offers mission opportunities in areas least served to meet the needs of the helpless, the hapless, and hopeless. To learn how you can be a partner of this frontline ministry with your time, talent, or treasure, visit frontier-partners.org. That's frontier-partners.org.
Here's a call to those who want to make an impact on their company, their community, or who possess a desire to make the world a better place. Crossman Career Builders provides the tools and resources for you or your company to make a difference on some of the toughest issues that we all face. Crossman Career Builders partners with CEOs, politicians, and pastors seeking to address problems of racism, mental health, addiction, justice, and suicide. CrossmanCB.com.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
All right, we're back. This is John Crossman, the Crossman Conversation, with just one of my favorite people on the planet, Vanessa Eccles. Vanessa, it's so great to have you on the show. Thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me. I'm enjoying it.
Well, Vanessa, I got to tell you this. So this morning, okay, I'm driving to the studio to meet with my buddy Mike, my producer, my boss, and I'm driving in, and I do what I do every day. You know, I call my mom and check on my mom. And so I check on my mom, and I said, look, I got to go. I got to do this interview today with Vanessa Eccles. And my mom, my 83-year-old mother, goes, Vanessa Eccles? I'm reading her book right now. There's a blank page, and I just wrote on, filled it all in. I love her. And so my mom says hello, apparently, Vanessa.
Well, tell her I said hello.
She's a big fan. She's a big fan of you. So you wrote a book? Tell us about the book.
I did. So the book is called We're in Heaven, and I Have Some Questions. And I think it's not quite what people think, because it's really a friend of mine described it as biblical humor. So I'm taking a look at 40 characters, because 40 is such a significant number in the Bible. I'm taking a look at 40 characters, and I'm imagining that we're all in heaven, and the questions I would ask them that are not serious questions. And so with each character, I give a little story about them. And the conversation is, again, it's a humorous look at their lives and how their lives impacted me or impacted others. And at the end, I ask one final question. And when your mom mentioned the blank pages, there's a blank page after each character's story, because I want people to think about what they've read and think about the questions they would ask, or just anything that they would, the thoughts they have about the story. So people ask me to describe it, and I say it's book/journal/potential Sunday school lesson/daily devotional. So it's all of those things.
So Vanessa, why did you write it? What was in you that you wanted to write this book?
I always, first of all, I have loved books since conception. And so I always thought that one of these days I'm going to write one. And I always thought I would write something about, you know, my adventures in television and all of that. But this is one of those books where you just feel like, okay, this is what God has inspired me to do. And that's why it was, I don't want to say it was easy, but I felt like I had enough material and things to say. But I always remember a conversation I had with someone who at the time was an associate producer at Channel 9. And this has been years and years and years ago, but her name is Mika King, and she's a gospel recording artist, and she lives right there in Orlando, grew up in Orlando and all of that. But during the workday, she and I would always have these conversations about matters of faith and Christianity and all of that. And I don't know what got us on this subject one day, but she looked at me one day and she started laughing. She says, Vanessa, you act like when we get to heaven, there's going to be a news conference and you get to ask all of these questions.
Well, of course.
And I said,
yes.
You mean there's not? Yeah, I was shocked. You mean there's not? And so throughout the years, she and I would always just kind of chuckle to ourselves about that conversation. And when I started writing the book, I thought, this is it. I would have a lot of questions, some of them very deep and serious, but some of them rather humorous. And so I decided to write about the humorous questions I would have.
That's awesome.
And the book was published August 16th, so it's been out about a week.
That's awesome. So tell me this, who is the ideal customer? Like who should I know? Clearly my mom, but other people, if I met and I'm like, oh, this is the perfect person to give an Vanessa's book for Christmas or for their birthday. Who's the demographic of the recipient of the book?
I would say, and the publishing company asked me that as well. And I said, all adults. And then they paused. I said, no, that's the end of my sentence. All adults. I think they were waiting for me to say something profound. But I think it is, you know, people who know about stories from the Bible, I think will be just entertained by it. And I think people who don't know the Bible, I want them to be intrigued by it. And I always say I want them to read my book so that they'll read God's book.
Oh my gosh.
So I think if you are familiar with the stories or if you aren't familiar with the stories, I hope this is going to prompt you to go back and read the actual story in the Bible, because at the end of each character study, I refer back to the scripture. So for instance, when I did the conversation with Job, at the end, it says the book of Job. Well, that's to prompt people to go back and read the book of Job to hear all about it.
Hang on, Vanessa. I got to ask Mike a question. Mike, did I just hear her say she wants people to read her book so then they read the Bible? Is that what she said?
That's what she said. It was profound.
She's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Vanessa Eccles is just like the coolest. She's dope.
Yeah.
Vanessa's dope. She's the coolest person ever. So when you say adults, and I mean, is there a concept there of like people maybe who have a more of a, you know, as you get older, you get more aware of your own mortality? Is there a connection to that?
I think so, because I think as you get older, you start thinking about, okay, what have I done with my life? What am I going to do with the rest of my life? And I think everyone, especially believers, have this idea of what happens when we get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that this is not, you know, we're not here and then poof, we're gone. As believers who believe in the promise of heaven, then it's like, okay, I'm going to get there, but what is life going to be like when I'm there? And if I see grandma, will I recognize grandma? Do I have a conversation with grandma? What do I tell grandma? Like, hey, grandma, here's what happened in the, you know, 75 years since you left the earth. And those kind of things. So I think people have questions about what happens after we leave this side of heaven. But I also, again, want people to just kind of look at, when you look at the Bible, I've had people say to me, like, I can't read the Bible because it's boring. Well, I'm like, no, you're just not reading the right stories
right.
to get you interested. And in one of the characters with the book, I say, you know, people say the Bible is boring, but it's not, because everything that we deal with in society is in the Bible. There's murder, there's adultery, there's people trying to kill their parents, there's people who are trying to kill their children. There, you know, it's everything that you can imagine. It's like, if you liked soap operas back in the day, there are some stories in the Bible that are better than any soap opera that you ever watched in terms of all the intrigue.
That's, well, a couple of things real quick, Vanessa. First off, when I think about me and heaven, my visual is I just like to be the janitor. You know, like if I just had a mop and a big barrel I pull with me and a big set of keys, and like you and Mike walk by and I'm like, hey Mike, I'm just mopping, you know, like that's, I'm good with that. If I'm just mopping, I am a really happy guy just as long as I'm there. But I love all those visuals and I love those questions. And you know, I've always told people, like, if you just read the book of Genesis, book of Genesis is a great read, and it has all those things you talk about. And it's kind of funny because I visualize, or and I can hear your voice in my head covering some of those events like a newscaster would, I kind of feel that. That's kind of cool. I gotcha. That's good. That's really good. Have you enjoyed getting feedback from people and talking to people who have read stuff and then asking you questions? Has that been fun?
Absolutely. And I think the thing that hit me the most is people who've read it who said, these stories are funny, but I can hear your voice. It's like they're reading it and they're like, I can hear you saying all of these things. There's so many, as they call them, Vanessa-isms in there. And I'm like, well, what are those? And they're like, I can't explain it. It's just that when I'm reading it, I hear your voice in my head.
That's
so
awesome.
I think that, I'm like, well, that's what I was hoping to do. So I think that's been just some of the greatest feedback.
Do you are you doing any book signings or any speaking about the book in any way?
I hope to. It's only been out for a week, so I'm just waiting for invitations, and then I will accept them.
There you go.
Quite simple.
There you go. Well, that's super fun. That is super, super fun. I would go to that. I would go to that, and I would buy a copy.
Thanks. I look forward to seeing you.
I would go to that. You know, it's funny. When my book came out, somebody asked me if I would do a book signing, and I said, I'm so terrified I'd do it and no one show up. I mean that like I'd be sitting there with a big stack of books by myself, you know.
I thought about that as well.
No.
Like, what are you doing that? But in that instance, what do you do if you have a book signing and no one shows up? What do you do?
Yeah, that wouldn't happen to Vanessa.
That's when you come out, John, with your bucket and you start mopping the floor.
just mop right there.
That's plan B.
That's plan B. Well, Vanessa, I want to move over to one. Well, is there anything else about your book you want to share? Was there anything else you wanted to say about your book?
It's available on Amazon.com.
Well, and I will say this. If you are a Vanessa Eccles fan, and she's blessed you in some way, buy her book. Okay, buy her book. You need to do that. And then give it a review on Amazon. Give it a review. You do authors a favor when you give. No, seriously. You do authors a favor when you give their book a review on Amazon. It impacts the algorithm, and so it's helpful to them. And so, and it's also good to like buy the book, and then sometime you see Vanessa, ask her to sign it. Don't ask her to send you a signed copy. She's got to pick up the book then. Just buy it and do it that way. This is John, Vanessa's friend, giving Vanessa friends advice, you know, just to say
exactly.
That.
Thank you.
Yes. No, I know it.
You understand.
I get it. I get it. Vanessa, I have one last question, and I want to just a short answer, but I like this question, and that I want you to visualize you and I are sitting together, and we're looking at a room together, and it's like, just to visualize, there's like 60 white male CEOs, and they're good guys. These are good guys. These are people you like. He's like, these are good guys. They get it, and they're thinking like, what do we do? How do we make race relations better? What do we need to hear from Vanessa? In a word and a concept, so that we're doing being better Christian business leaders and making it better in the world of race. What would you want to say in one sentence to those people?
Get to know people who don't look like you and who aren't in your regular social circle. That would be my one-liner. I think we make it more difficult. It can be difficult, but we make it much more difficult than it needs to be. And it really is just as simple as reaching out to others who don't look like you. And it does involve reaching out to others who aren't in your social circle, the people that you may not live in your neighborhood or see in your outings outside of business. And so it's just all about just trying to get to know people, to understand their story, to understand that their story is different from yours, maybe vastly different from yours. And in some cases, it's getting to know people and understanding like, oh, I thought we were so different, but we're not. We kind of grew up the same ways, the same values, and faced the same challenges. So I just always come back to just reach out and try to get to know people.
That's so awesome. And, you know, that's even true. Like, they could be in a higher socioeconomic class, a lower socioeconomic class, more education, less education, but all that works. Well, Vanessa Eccles, you are just a blessing and a treasure to Central Florida. Thank you for all of your years, for all you did for me, my family, my mom, and for this community. Mike agrees, the blessing you continue to be. Please, everyone, go buy her book. Do it right now. And if there's anything else we ever can do for you, Vanessa, you let me know. Thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed this. Appreciate you. And excuse me, got all choked up there. Appreciate you and just all that you do daily. You are a champion for historically black colleges and universities. And I just appreciate you.
Well, it's my honor to do it. Thank you. This is Crossman Conversation. Have a great day and support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.